if we get back to a semblance of normalcy in September.
Whoa.
And you can kiss this economy goodbye. It will never, ever be the same. We will never go back to where we were in that first week of March 2020. Bet on it.
Cheap. Okay, Brother
Gloom Robert. And doom. Gloom and doom. The economy will rebound. This is America. Now, how long it takes, I don't know. But it will rebound. Ain't no question about that. Rebound like Bill Russell and Dennis Rodman.
Okay. It's in seconds, it'll be 8:30. We come up, family. We're going to do a special edition of the Larry Young Morning Show. We're going to have as our guest, Dr. Aaliyah Jones, the Deputy Secretary of Behavioral Health for the State Department of Health, and also Dr. Grady Dale. He'll be joining us, and you will be able to have a discussion with them through Q&A, and we want you to stay tuned. Right now, it is 8:30 here on 1010 WOLB.
Larry Young News.
Good morning, Baltimore. This news update is sponsored by the Ad Council. Okay, dads, it's time to do the Cabbage Patch, the Running Man, or something more contemporary, the Floss. That's right. Dance like a dad with your kids. Learn more at fatherhood.gov. A new COVID-19 testing site in Baltimore's first drive-through location is set to open this morning at 10 o'clock at the Pimlico Racecourse. The site in Northwest Baltimore will conduct drive-through testing for those who have a doctor's note and an appointment. Also, they must call the city's 211 system and undergo a phone evaluation before arriving at the testing facility. Officials say they will not accept people who just stopped by for a test. Just how long the site will be in operation today depends on the number of testing kits medical personnel have in stock to conduct these tests. Pimlico was selected for the testing site because city officials found the area around the racecourse with more confirmed cases of COVID-19 than anywhere else in Baltimore. A number of residents at the Perkins Homes in southeast Baltimore are expressing their outrage after receiving notices in the mail that their water service was going to be shut off. What added to their frustration was that the water notices informed residents that service would be cut off in their neighborhood for emergency repairs. Some residents complained that they were only given 48-hour notice about the service shutoff, adding that with the coronavirus, many were unable to get to stores to get bottled water. After reaching out to City Hall, they finally found help from a mayoral candidate who provided residents with bottled water. This weather update is sponsored by Unbound.org. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it will change your own. Unbound.org. Your weather forecast today, mostly cloudy skies, windy, much cooler, highs in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 44 degrees under sunny skies. I'm Tony Thornton on Baltimore's Larry Young Morning Show, right here on 1010 WOLB.
This is Mary Miller, and I'm running for mayor. These are difficult times. The coronavirus has upended life for all of us in Baltimore. People are really worried about their families, their jobs, and businesses. First and foremost, we must follow our medical experts' advice to protect ourselves and our city. But when the health crisis is over, we're going to need a strong, experienced leader to help our city recover. From my time working for President Obama, I know how to do this. I know how to work with federal and state partners to get help to Baltimore. I'll use the city's resources and our business and nonprofit partners to make sure no one falls through the cracks. Together, we can rebuild our city's economy to make it work for everyone. We will get through this. I'm Mary Miller. Stay strong and stay well. To learn more about my campaign, visit electmarymiller.com. Paid for by Mary Miller for Baltimore, Vernon Reed, Treasurer.
If you or a loved one have been in recovery from a drug or alcohol addiction and have relapsed, we understand what you're going through, and we can help. Recovery Centers of America stands ready to help you do whatever it takes to achieve lasting recovery. The time for action is now. Dial *646 on your mobile phone today and ask about PRIZE, a unique program for people who have relapsed, available at our locations on the Eastern Shore and in Southern Maryland. At RCA, our master's level clinicians will identify the triggers and reasons behind your relapse and tackle them head on. We'll help you build off the knowledge that you've acquired previously in treatment, and you'll be surrounded by peers who are determined plan to make this their last time in treatment. Together, we can achieve lasting recovery. Make the call that changes everything. Dial *646 on your mobile phone today. That's *646, *646.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors or advertisers.
Listen and learn with your guy, LY.
Here on 1010 WOLB, and on this Friday, April the 10th, it's clear. Right now it's 44 degrees. It's going to sometime between 50 and 63 for mid-afternoon, but it's going to wrap up with a 30 cold. I had a discussion with Dr. Grady Dale, and one of our very exceptional county execs said that she had met and wanted to have join us, Dr. Aaliyah Jones, who's the Deputy Secretary of Behavioral Health for the state of Maryland. And I remember it a couple of weeks ago when we were getting these calls and inquiries. And as I said at the time, it was out of my league. And so I said, I can get a hold of Dr. Grady Dale. And I did. And I asked him if we could put something together. So this morning, here we are. We're going to talk about positive ways to deal with the mental and family successes that have surfaced and have been aggravated by this pandemic. Also, I asked them if they would mention some resources such as hotlines, RE for suicide prevention, domestic violence that could be helpful. And hopefully our deputy secretary will share with us resources via the health department. So we got these two fantastic individuals sharing their morning time with us, and so we're very honored. Let me make sure we got them on board. Dr. Grady Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning. Dr. Jones?
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Thank you both. Okay. Much appreciation to both of you for coming on board. I wish we could have a lighter topic, but this one is very heavy, and I thought that we would spend some time on the mental health issue and whatever other issue that you feel should be combined, since we got both of you here with us. Dr. Dale, you want to talk to and share with the family what our thoughts are, and then Dr. Jones can join in as well.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Senator, for having me. This is a very stressful time for everyone, and it's a very stressful time, particularly for people in our communities. You're not only talking about coping with your own stress, but you're talking about coping with the stress of the people around you and the community at large. And this is COVID-19 came upon us so quickly, and people had to make so many adjustments that it's been very, very difficult for people to come to grips with this. So I just with my colleague, you know, we can go back and forth with this in terms of what are some of the things that we ought to be looking for. So just to start this off, so one of the things that we are looking at in terms of how people react to this COVID-19. We're talking about, if you're talking about individuals, you're talking about fear and worry about your own health and also the health of your loved ones. There are things that we pay attention to of these things, like change in sleeping and eating patterns, difficulties in sleeping, worsening of chronic health conditions and worsening of mental health conditions. And the physical and the health conditions can combine to make for a potent brew. I might also add that there could be an increase in alcohol and tobacco and other drugs. And so all of this kind of comes together in a difficult time. And it's very, very, very stressful. So, you know, we talk about how people respond to this, all of these stressors. And again, particularly in our community, and as I mentioned, those pieces that I mentioned before, we have to come down to some situation of how we deal with stress. And I'm sure my colleague and I can talk about that in many respects. But I think the idea about reducing stress is very, very, very important and taking care of that. I might add also, we're talking about how to deal with stress, not only with yourself, but there are older people in the community. There are teens and children, and all of these different groups have their ways of responding to stress. So I just wanted to put that out there for now, and then we can talk further about this.
Dr. Jones?
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on board.
So I completely agree with Dr. Grady. I think that the most important thing for people to understand is that it's okay to be fazed by what's happening right now. This is a completely unusual time, a time that none of us have ever experienced before and hopefully never will again. However, to expect that you're not going to have some sort of a reaction to what's happening right now is probably putting too high of an expectation on oneself. So we should expect that we are going to experience some measure of distress. What that looks like in each individual is going to be different because we're all different. But we should expect and we should be monitoring ourselves to make sure or to identify how it is that we are responding to what it is that we're going through. And then making sure that that response is a healthy response. And so our goal is going to be helping people and should be helping people recognize and to create a healthy ways of managing during this time, to recognize when or if you are engaging in practices that are not going to help you. So that way, when we get to the other side of this, we are as whole as we could possibly be. But I'm certain that many and most of us will be changed once this is over.
Yes, I appreciate what my colleague is saying. I want to pivot to something that I think is important because, you know, we're parents are in the house with their children. In an interesting sort of way, children are really exposed to the stresses. And I just wanted to say, well, some of the changes in behaviors of your children are, let alone yourself. But I'll just say these things, and then you know people may identify with it. Children can be especially young children can be irritable and has excessive crying, their excessive worries and sadness and unhealthy eating habits and acting out, poor school performance and difficulties with attention and concentration, just a few. And I think that's important to identify that for all of us who are either quarantined, self-quarantined, and find ourselves in the house with our children. And that could be a good thing. Being in the house with your children is not necessarily a bad thing. But these kinds of things come up in terms of practicalities, and everyone has to identify, you know, what they are and what your children are experiencing, as well as what you're experiencing. And again, your stress and your child's stress can interact with each other. And sometimes you find that if you have children who irritate you, given the situation of COVID-19, you might find that everything is aggravated by the fact that children are around you. So I wanted to put that out there because then we're going to be talking about how you manage that, how parents manage that. I'll just mention this quickly, and my colleague can chip in with this. There's older people too. That's a big population in terms of how older people are responding to it, especially older people who are exposed by factors they have compromised immune systems and difficulties, other medical difficulties that could really make things difficult. So I want to put that out there because my colleague and I can talk about how we can deal with these kinds of things in terms of reducing stress and among other things.
I completely agree. With regards to our children, I think one of the things that we have to remember is that our kids are going through this the same way that we are. And so if we are experiencing a stress to what's happening, you have to expect that the children around you, whether they're yours or not, are experiencing this in a stressful way as well. And we need to make sure that we acknowledge that they have feelings and that they have a right to have feelings and that those feelings are not always going to be positive, and that we, whoever the adults are that are in their lives, need to provide as much emotional support for them during this time as you possibly are able to do. But the first part, starting with acknowledgement and recognition.